Brewster's offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Brewster's at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Trucks cost less and travelers rest at George Coleman Ford. The award-winning George Coleman Ford team is offering a 2018 F-150 crew cab with tow mode, up to $6,000 off MSRP and 0% financing for 72 months with approved credit. And remember, George Coleman Ford does not charge any dealer fees. See the 2018 F-150 today. Trucks do cost less and travelers rest. Four generations doing business right. George Coleman Ford.
Here at the Roar, community means everything to us, and our friends at Carolina Alliance Bank feel the exact same way. Here's a real full-service bank that puts community first. They are the community bank you have been looking for. Whether it is for business or personal banking needs, Carolina Alliance offers competitive low rates and personal one-on-one services and the customer care you thought was a thing of the past. Find a local branch at CarolinaAllianceBank.com. Again, that's CarolinaAllianceBank.com. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
M&L Mobile Home Supplies is the largest retail mobile home parts store in the upstate. They're your source for heat pumps, heating and air replacement parts, doors, tubs, showers, vinyl windows, skirting, decks, water heaters, everything you need. And they'll install vapor barriers, insulated floors, ductwork, and heat pumps. For 32 years, the staff at M&L Mobile Home Supplies has served the upstate's mobile home needs. M&L Mobile Home Supplies, 1128 Bypass in Anderson, or online at mnlsupply.com.
Tool that doesn't miss a thing. You got it to come strong. If you're coming all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna come and shine. Tell you what I got.
Walt Deptula Road Rage. We're to be CCP 105.5 The Roar. I just saw this from CBS Sports. South Dakota State coach apologizes for running up score in 90-6 blowout victory. I don't know. You think he has something to apologize for? 90-6. Who'd they play? Let's see. Arkansas Pine Bluff in Brookings, South Dakota. The Jackrabbits were up 49-6 at the half. Scored 20 points in the third and 20 in the fourth. Disappointed in how I managed the game, he said. I should have slowed it down earlier. 90-6. Yeah, it's not your job. Lots to get to. And actually, I'm having the guys from After Further Review join the show in this last hour. How about that? It's Jay and Bradley, the Virginia Tech fan.
I knew you'd mention that. I was actually doing some research earlier to try to prep for that because I knew you'd come after me about that 100%.
There's been some tweets back and forth. I know Bradley usually handles some of the tweets, but it's been good conversations. So,
well, Bradley, let me ask you this. In light of what you now know to be true about Florida State, do you care to redefine your position on Virginia Tech?
On Florida State, I can redefine my position, but Virginia Tech, I'm still not willing to budge. I got to be honest. I'm still a Josh Jackson believer to the
Why?
Day.
Why?
I just look.
He's not talented. He's not. He's never gonna play in the NFL. He's just a guy who throws balls up. He throws lollipops up in the air to his receivers, who he hopes to get in one-on-one situations. I don't see it, bro. Hey, look. One of the conversations we got in was about Brown of BC versus him, and yep. You were right in your statistical analysis, but I told you it's about talent. How do you feel about it now?
I mean, I'm still kind of torn on it. I like Brown a lot more than I did before.
Okay, right.
I look at Jackson, and you know, I know you don't dig too deep into the stats, but Jackson had 26 touchdowns and 9 picks last year as a true freshman. And I know you can look at that as you might, but in a true freshman in school like Virginia Tech, led the team to an 8-4 record, I still think you can't just overlook that.
See, I don't think he'll ever get better than he was last year. I think what you saw from him was the best year he'll ever have the rest of his life. And, you know, and in 3 years, he'll be selling insurance.
I mean, they've got games, on the schedule. They got Notre Dame at home. They got BC at home. And then they got Miami at home later on in the year. So he has opportunities to improve.
Yeah.
And those are big game environments for him.
Well, again, look, I'm just talking about his talent. And from a talent standpoint, he's not a guy who's ever played in the NFL. He's not a great athlete. He doesn't have an elite arm. He's a pedestrian athlete with a pedestrian arm. I'm not even sure that he's their long-term solution. In fact, I won't be surprised if he's replaced next year. Ooh. So that's how little I think of him. I just think that where Virginia Tech is right now, it is all based on the mirage that was Florida State. Take Florida State off of their resume, and what do you have?
It's still early.
And they've already had a game canceled. It was ECU.
Right.
They canceled. Yeah. Clemson, I think, was the only Power 5 team to actually play a game in the Carolinas or Virginia this weekend.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have a small sample size. You're right. They played William & Mary. That doesn't even – we could throw that out. They got Old Dominion. They got at Duke.
But their rise was based solely – on what they did against Florida State. There were people who were impressed with that performance. And I guess what I'm asking you is, do you feel, in light of what we know now, that there's any reason to be impressed by what Virginia Tech did against Florida State?
I think most of my kind of love that I have for VT isn't just solely based on Josh Jackson and, you know, the game they had against Florida State. Yes, they're probably not the 13th best team in the country. I think we can all probably agree with that. I'm more looking at their schedule and what they've got ahead of them. Jay, you mentioned those 3 home games they've got.
There's potential. They have the potential to win games.
And with how down the ACC is this year.
Yeah.
Someone's going to win that division because I think it's required.
Yeah. Whether it's a split with Miami or them by themselves, I think they got easily the second best chance right now on the Coastal to win that. I mean, you got Duke, you know, Notre Dame.
And the Notre Dame game means a lot because, right, I mean, we talked about this on our show prior to the season starting with a lot of people had Notre Dame in the playoff. And if they can get a win against Notre Dame midway through the season, it can do a lot to bolster
their resume. You know what? The 2 most overrated teams in the top 25 right now are those 2 teams.
Exactly.
Virginia Tech and Notre Dame. I think they both are frauds, total frauds. I mean, Notre Dame should have lost at home to Vanderbilt, and they barely beat Ball State.
Who got smoked by Indiana
the week before. So, I mean, they're...
So you would have them getting blown out by Stanford later on. Then
no, because I don't really like Stanford either, to be honest.
I agree with that.
I think Stanford will probably beat them, but it won't be blowout. It will be bore out. You know, it'll be 13-10. We'll all want to poke our eyes out with pencils. But...
Because that's all Notre Dame really has on their schedule. They've got... In 2 weeks, they've got Stanford at home. Then they have at VT, a team we've just been talking about. And then other than that, they have no teams on the schedule besides USC at the end of the year that mean anything.
USC means nothing.
Well, you know, you know, when I looked at their schedule at the start of the year, this is what I thought. I thought that their schedule looked good on paper, but I thought all those teams that were sort of fraudulent, that they, you know, Michigan, they were all sort of fraudulent. I didn't even know that they would beat Michigan. I'm not sure how Michigan lost to this Notre Dame team in light of what we've seen Notre Dame do since. So, of course, Michigan sort of struggled with SMU this week, and I wasn't really surprised at that. I mean, eventually they won by 20, but it certainly wasn't a thing of beauty. I think those 2 football teams, Notre Dame and Virginia Tech, are presently the most overrated teams in the top 25. Now, again, their schedules may actually help them remain there, but I'm not sure that there's anything on those 2 football teams to warrant it. And I think a lot of people jumped in immediately, and I'm not saying that you necessarily did this, Bradley, but I think a lot of people jumped in immediately after Virginia Tech won against Florida State and made assumptions that weren't true based on that. And the only assumption that should have been drawn out of that is that Florida State is terrible. And when I told people, you know, again, I picked Florida State fourth in the division before the year. I said all last week that I should have picked them seventh, that they are clearly the worst team in the division. And I think people thought, you know, maybe I was being hyperbolic. Maybe I was, you know, maybe I was just trying to make a point. No, I wasn't trying to make a point. They're the worst team in the division. In fact, I said last week, I think they're a 4-8 team. Right now, I think they're a 2-10 team, and they may be a 1-11 team. I'm not even sure they're going to beat Northern Illinois. I'm really not. They cannot block anybody. Nothing else matters. If you can't block anybody, nothing else matters.
And the watching the game, I got to catch the last few minutes of that game against Syracuse over the weekend, and just the atmosphere on the sideline for Florida State is just completely demoralized. And so Taggart's going to have he already has a hard row to turn that around mid-season and try and get, even with the down ACC this year, get some wins that'll kind of bolster the program up. Because when you're week three, week four, and you've already got GoFundMes that are trying to buy you out, it says a lot. And then
nine of them, last I knew, they raised $31.
31 total dollars.
A little farther to go.
So the Noles fans not exactly committed cause financially. Yet.
What about, I guess, I want to get y'all's opinions on Wisconsin, because everybody was high on Wisconsin. Yeah. You know, we even talked about them kind of emerging from the Big Ten to make the playoff. They played two games, Western Kentucky, then New Mexico start the season, and then they lose at home to BYU in a game that should never have been close. I think Wisconsin was favored by over 24, 25 points.
And I believe they played them last year. And I think, did they play them last year? Because I'm thinking they crushed them. You know, Wisconsin, their league games last year, they won by an average of like 19 points a game. They were a dominant team. Michigan State won a lot of close games. Wisconsin blew people out. And given the physical nature of that team, that was what's expected. I mean, I'm not surprised that BYU's 30-year-olds could compete a little with Wisconsin, but I'm very surprised that they won that football game. Shocking.
Yeah, and right, 40-6.
I thought they blew out
last year. Yeah, wasn't even close.
So, you know, that makes that game that much more surprising, because there's nothing has really changed at BYU of note. I mean,
they dropped like a rock. I mean, the Badgers went from 6 to 18.
I'm going to be honest, that's too much.
And, well,
12,
I mean,
12 spots?
They're essentially out of the playoff now. I mean,
yeah, they got a 1% chance according to ESPN.
The Big Ten has basically imploded besides Ohio State. And Ohio State, I'm going to make the argument in a little while.
It didn't take long to clear that up.
They should have lost to TCU.
I think TCU had that game in the bag. And
yeah.
I think
choked it in the third quarter with two defensive touchdowns. I mean, it's just,
TCU had that game.
TCU had that game under control.
They had that game in control. It was
21-19.
How many yards did Ohio State put up? How many yards did he put up?
I mean, Haskins had a game. He had a great game.
And that's the thing. See, all this other stuff, Ohio State is an extremely gifted team, and Haskins is an extremely gifted thrower of the football, and that is not something they've had. And that means, you know, you can keep them down for a while, but you're not going to keep that talent down. They're just too gifted. That, you know, look, I fought myself in terms of what to do with them before the year. Ultimately, I put them in the national championship game because I just thought they were too talented. Even with all this peripheral stuff that was going on, I felt like their ability was just too significant. They have all sorts of talent at wide receiver. They have two tremendous running backs. And I thought Haskins was going to be a massive upgrade over JT Barrett. We saw it last year. When he came in the Michigan game, he's the guy who saved that game. And so I think that's what you're seeing now. JT Barrett could not throw a ball over 40 yards in the air. So the field got compressed on Ohio State every game, and they were not going to be any factor with him. Now they're a totally different animal. Now we'll see about Bosa's injury and how quickly he can get back. But I just think that's a really dangerous team, and I'm not sure who's beating them. We looked at their schedule before the year, and there seemed to be enough pitfalls, enough significant road tests. But in light of what we've seen in the last few weeks out of the Big Ten and the alleged other great teams, and look, I still think Wisconsin, Michigan State are good football teams. I still think Penn State's a decent football team, but I just don't think any of them have Ohio State's talent.
That Penn State game with Ohio State is going to be on the road for the Buckeyes, so it's at Penn State this year. And then they're going to have to travel to Sparty and take on Michigan State. So those road environments, in my opinion, I feel like those that factors in. Where you play the game factors in. If it's a neutral environment, I know TCU, I think they got paid a few million dollars to move the game to Jerry's World instead of playing it at their home stadium,
which was dumb. And, I mean, and you can keep the game at home for that.
You can make that. You can make the argument that it can affect your team. Now, essentially for TCU, that is a home game. That is essentially a home game. So it's not a great example.
Well, it was in that it was in their backyard, but there are a lot of Buckeye fans in that building.
Oh, they've played there numerous years now. I mean, yeah. you saw the big nut guy, you know, painted up head to toe in the front row. He's going to show up. The Ohio State fans are going to travel. And I think TCU, the only chance they really had in that game was for a guy like Nick Bosa to get injured. And
everything was going their way up until the third quarter.
You had the momentum. Momentum says a lot. And I think once those two turnovers happened and those two touchdowns were scored, that's when you saw Haskins really pour it on.
But that's what talent does. All right, talent doesn't beat you in the first 5 minutes. It didn't beat you for Clemson. It didn't beat Georgia Southern in the first 5 minutes. It beats you over the course of a game. That's the nature of talent. And I think that's what you saw in that game. I mean, TCU has heart. They have character. They have toughness. They have as good a college football coach as there is in terms of X's and O's and knowing defense and all these things. But eventually, over the course of the game, talent still ruled the day. And what did the Buckeyes wind up with the yardage?
Both teams had over 500 total yards. Yeah, Ohio State's 526, TCU's 511.
Yeah, and over the course of the game, I think that's what you saw. And I still think Ohio State's a team that I think you'd see them in the championship game, even with that schedule. I just think they're that talented. And, you know, I want to see Bosa get back. I think that matters. They don't have quite as much depth on that defensive line as they did a year ago, which is still one little area of concern. But when Bosa's healthy and upright, they probably have the best pair of defensive ends in college football in Bosa and Young. So there's that. I mean, I still think they're a really talented team, and we'll see what TCU does over the course of the year. I think, look, the thing for TCU is that Robinson looked great, and he showed flashes of what he's capable of. And so from a Gary Patterson standpoint, look, they may not be part of this conversation at the end this year, but next year they could be just coming into their own, and they could be a team that makes a playoff appearance next year would not surprise me at all. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. By the way, tell them who you are.
Jay Smith, Bradley Kendall. Hey, Evan McDowell just walked in, so we'll have him on shortly, but we'll be going live every Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. right before Tiger Calls, right after Walt, and we just try and run down college football for you. We've been doing it now for 2.5-3 years.
And the show is called After Further Review. And how did it start?
So I guess the story behind the start of the show, funny enough, was sophomore year, and we were all sitting watching the game together, as we always do, and a friend of ours, Robert Basham, made a joke, because Bradley and I always go back and forth on different topics and stuff relating to college football, and he said, you know, y'all really need to record your arguments so I can go back and listen to them. And I was sitting there thinking, I was like, well, that's not a half bad idea. And at the time, I was in a class with the GM of Tiger Vision, Freddie Pope. And so I approached him and just got, you know, a question, you know, how's it work? How did things get started? I didn't know a ton about the Tiger Media, the student media organizations on campus. And so he said, yeah, it's pretty, you know, easy, straightforward. Come by, do a dry run through. And if things go well and the pilot looks good, then we'll put you live next week. And so the rest is history, as they say. Yeah.
Well, you know, look, I spent some time listening to you guys a couple times, and I thought you were worthwhile to listen to, and I don't say that very often. So about anybody, quite honestly, I think we have an industry of buffoons. And so when I heard you guys and then I started exchanging tweets with you, et cetera, I thought you did a really nice job, and I mentioned it several times. I wrote it on Twitter, and I thought it'd be a good idea to bring you guys in and have you be part of the show one day as we move on to your show when this concludes. So it's well done. It's worth listening to if you haven't listened. I think these guys are entertaining. They talk football. I like the things they bring up on social media, the type of topics they bring up. There's some outside-the-box thinking. I also like the fact that it's a little competitive. It's a little argumentative at times. I think that's good. I think that when you listen to After Further Review, you listen to the type of conversations that you people may be having on your own at home. And I think that's what I want to hear as somebody who has been involved in sports talk for a long time. Before we get a break, let me tell you about Hims. Listen, performance issues happen to everybody. Your testosterone levels start declining in your 20s. And there's an answer. The answer isn't go up on the internet at 2 a.m. in the morning and do the Lamar Odom thing and almost kill yourself with something that nobody knows anything about. That's not an answer. That's an answer to die. Skip that. Skip that. What we're talking about here is real doctors, medical grade solutions to treat performance issues. That's for Hims. And what's happened is a lot of these big name brands, blue pills, etc., they've come off patent. So for Hims can offer them to you at a highly discounted rate. Medical grade solutions, real doctors, no snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements, prescription solutions backed by science. No waiting rooms, no awkward doctor visits, no lines. People in real life, we don't have time for that. So this saves you time too. ForHims.com, it's so easy. You'll speak to a doctor, a few quick questions in a confidential review. Products are shipped discreetly to your door. Here's what I need you to do. Try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or pharmacy. Go to ForHims.com/Road Rage, the number 5. That's ForHims.com/Road Rage, the number 5. ForHims.com/Road Rage, the number 5. And that's 4, F-O-R. All right, Walt Iptula, Road Rage, joined by Bradley and Jay from After Further Review. We'll be right back.
Hey, Clemson fans. 2018 Clemson women's basketball season ticket packages are now on sale. Join new head coach Amanda Butler in her first year at the helm. Tickets are only $60, or add them on to your men's basketball season tickets for just $20. To order, visit ClemsonTigers.com or call 1-800-CLEMSON. And we'll see you in Little John Coliseum.
It's football season, and emotions run high and hot. And it ain't all about the love. Embrace the hate and let it fly with the Hater Hotline. The Hater Hotline is open 24-7. Call the Hater Hotline, 864-986-6049. Then listen up during Out of Bounds every Monday for the Great of the Hate. The Hater Hotline, only on 105.5 The Roar. Sponsored by Bennett Equipment. If you need to rent it from Bennett.
Writing is a passion passed down through generations. Tim's Harley Davidson knows about generations of passion, and they'll show you open road freedom. Climb on your dream bike, twist the throttle, and hear that iconic rumble. It's 2019 model season, so there's a ton of new and pre-loved bikes. Plus, Tim's has a team of friendly experts to make your experience as smooth as fresh pavement. Dare to find your passion. Ride into freedom. Go see South Carolina's oldest dealer, Tim's Harley Davidson in Anderson.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671, or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
You really don't need a special reason or a special occasion to shop at Reed's Jewelers. Simply put, anytime you step into Reed's, the award-winning staff will be sure you leave with a smile and what you came for. From diamonds for her to watches for him, Reed's has it. And to help you with your purchase, ask the Reed's team about their extended payment plans. Jewelry is about relationships that last a lifetime with your loved one and with your jeweler. Reed's Jewelers, online at Reed's.com, in Haywood Mall, next to Belk.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One, trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
Vehicle repairs can be a painful experience, from shops that overcharge to mechanics who don't know what they're doing. My Garage by Essex, with over 100 years of combined experience, is that vehicle repair shop you've always wanted. Specializing in computer diagnostics and engine repairs with a strong focus on preventative and scheduled maintenance, suspensions, brakes, heating and cooling. Call or stop by My Garage by Essex on Highway 93 in Clemson, 633-5800.
The summer clearance sale on all in-stock patio furniture is now in progress at the Craft Stove Store and Patio. Now is the perfect time to update your patio, porch, or pool and save during the summer clearance sale at Craft Stove Store and Patio. Available for immediate delivery, buy it now and enjoy it tomorrow. It's the summer clearance sale on all in-stock patio furniture at the Craft Stove Store and Patio on Waithampton Boulevard.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Carolina Alliance has a team of experienced, devoted bankers to help you with any financial hurdle you come across, offering competitive low rates and personal one-on-one services for your business or personal banking needs. Here's the best part. These are people you know from the community. Stop in for a visit. David Barnett, Dustin Green, and Leslie Menace in Greenville. Jeff Turner and Adria Earwood in Easley. Jack Bice, Robert Halfacre, and Lois Filial in Anderson. Visit them online at CarolinaAllianceBank.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
No one's better than Walt Neptula. Just ask him. It's Road Rage on 105.5 The Roar.
I mean, what better way to fortify our masculinity than some classic male bonding?
Now, back to Walt and Ramona.
Walt Neptula Road Rage, we're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. I'm joined by Bradley and Jay from the After Further Review crew, which comes on Mondays after me. So stay tuned at 7 o'clock and you'll get some more fine sports talk. I'm going to get to Cliff and Spartanburg in a minute. Just one thing. Like during the break, we're still discussing Florida State. And Jason, I was talking about, it's a mystery to me why people didn't see Florida State. And Jason to me, we didn't really know how bad their offensive line was going to be. And what I said back is, we did. I mean, this has been the constant theme on this show regarding the Seminoles. I don't understand why people didn't see this coming, because all you need to do is watch their games last year. I mean, they could not physically block anybody. And I keep hearing people say things like, even last week, even smart people were saying things like, yeah, but, you know, they'll get better. You know, they'll get better over the course of the year. And I said, no, they're not getting better. There's no magic pixie dust you can sprinkle on the scrubs on that offensive line to make them better players. And without that, nothing matters. I mean, everybody agrees that Cam Akers is a really hyper-talented back. He's meaningless. It's like he doesn't even exist because he can't even get to the line of scrimmage. I mean, this is how bad it is. It's the worst major college offensive line I've seen in ever. I mean, they literally cannot block anybody. It starts with Alec Eberle, the center, who actually somehow made all league to the crazy ACC media voters in the last couple of years, not this year. But it starts with him. I could never even understand why Florida State recruited him in high school. I said this at the time. But that offensive line can't block anybody, and they're not good at any other element. Their secondary doesn't find the football when it's in the air at all. Their defense doesn't get pressure. They can't run it. They can't throw it. They're just bad, but it all starts up front with that offensive line. You know, and it's funny because we got to the end of last year. They lost by 30 to Boston College. People said, well, they just quit. No, it wasn't that they quit. It's that they suck, which is different than quit.
I mean, Cam Akers this year, he's got 38 carries. He's averaging 5.5 yards a carry.
Because he had a 90-yard run.
He had an 85-yard run this year, so that certainly inflates the average. But
they were 6-6 last year with a terrible offensive line as well. I mean, I know you take out Francois for that, half that season, but even with James Blackmon, they were still competitive against Clemson.
I guess the hard thing for us to realize, because, obviously Bradley and I, our experience and our background with Florida State, really it stops at the late 90s. And growing up, Florida State was the team that always pounded Clemson. I mean, they were unbeatable. Yeah. So for me specifically, and Bradley may be the case, it's hard for me to not see Florida State rebound. It's hard for me to not imagine that Florida State is going to pull in a great recruiting class rebound.
That's perfectly logical and sensible, and it's based on your history. You expect certain things of them. And I get that, and I get why people would say those kind of things. But if you're actually watching that team and breaking them down from a talent standpoint, and you're looking at that offensive line, and you realize they can't block anybody, nothing else matters. And that's why even Northern Illinois, I mean, I'm not convinced Florida State's beating Northern Illinois. In fact, if you ask me today, I don't think they will. I think
you got to go with 2-10? 2-10 is what you said during the break?
2-10 is the best.
I mean, you're taking Northern Illinois over Samford, and Samford gave Florida State a run for their money.
I mean, 2-10 is the best. I can't see them going better than that. That stretch of games starts September 29th. They're not, here's the really bad news for Willie Taggart. He inherited a bad football team with a much more difficult schedule than Jimbo Fisher faced the last couple of years. That schedule that starts September 29th, that's not easy.
Easy for a good Florida State team.
Right. No. And I just don't see them beating any of those teams. Now, they might slip up and win one game somewhere, somehow, in some fluke fashion or something. But it's as I said last week, I'm picking against them every single week. I don't care who they're playing. I'm picking against them every single week because I truly think they're that bad. And the unfortunate thing is all the Willie Taggart hate that this is generating, because this isn't on him. This is Jimbo Fisher's team. This team has been in decline for 3 years. And the signs of it might not have been clear, but it's been clear if you're watching the players. Let's get Cliff in Spartanburg in here, who's been hanging on. Cliff, how are you?
Hey, Walt, how are you?
Hey, Cliff, appreciate you getting in as always.
Well, Walt, you would think offensive line would take a long time to turn around, but it was either one or two classes ago Florida State brought in 5 or 6 highly ranked offensive linemen. Do you just go to the youth movement and just take your lumps and get your quarterback killed? I mean, he's already getting killed.
I don't think it matters. I don't know if it's bad coaching. All I know is that the guys that they're playing are bad athletes. That's the first thing. Alec Eberle, again, I use my three-legged pregnant water buffalo thing. No lateral movement at all. None. If you're an offensive lineman and you can't move your feet, you're screwed. Even more so, your quarterback and your running back are screwed. And that's where Florida State is. Somebody wrote me last year and said, in regards to the Seminole fans saying, well, we lost DeAndre Francois. And somebody wrote me and said, it doesn't matter whether your quarterback is DeAndre Francois or James Blackmon when they're lying on their back. And that's exactly right. It doesn't matter. I don't think a fix is at hand. I think it's going to take several years to fix Florida State's issues.
So basically, Taggart he's gone. He's not going to last three years. They're not going to give him that long if they keep looking like this.
Yeah, it appears that he will be scapegoated, and that's what it will be. Because, again, if you're not – see, people are – it's sort of like Jay said. People are not accepting of this. This is – they still don't really believe this. And it's – you know what the easiest thing to do is? It's easiest to blame one guy because – Our choice is we have to say our whole team sucks, So it's much easier to blame one guy and direct the venom at him and say it's his fault. But it's not. That's not how it is. And he's going to need 3 or 4 years to begin to turn this.
two quick things while I jump off. I know it's early, but it looks like a down year for NFL prospects at the quarterback position. You know, some of these highly rated guys don't necessarily look like guys you'd build your team around. Probably Locke and maybe the kids from Buffalo are really the two that I guess look the most promising. But there's no standouts. It seems like the best guys in college are all 6 foot, you know, or 5'11", and we'll see how the season shakes out.
Cliff,
but it just feels like a down year.
Why are you ignoring the guy you're about to face? You being Stanford.
The talent's there, Walt. I mean, he hasn't looked all that great this year, but again, maybe he carves us up.
I think Justin Herbert has talent. I think he's a big kid with the big arm, and he's pretty athletic, and I think he has ability.
No doubt. We'll see this week. Walt, I almost wonder if he's gotten a little too muscular in his recovery. He's throwing some 110-mile-an-hour fastballs and struggling a little with his accuracy, and when you see him, he looks like he's, muscle-bound. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on the game, Walt. I'll offer a couple and jump off. It's two teams that seem to be a little overrated at the moment and, struggling to put away teams they should be hammering if they're worthy of the ranking they sit at. But I feel like this is going to be our toughest test of the season. We don't go into many road environments like this. As you mentioned, the quarterback's good, and, they've got talent and a great defense coordinator. Walt, one thing I can't shake is that we've absolutely destroyed them 2 years in a row with Keller Christ at quarterback. And despite the offensive line's early struggle, if we had to pick one problem to have to fix during the season, I think it'd be offensive line in the running game. So I'm really torn on where to sit. And I'll take your thoughts off the air, Walt.
Thank you, Cliff. I appreciate that. Well, my first thought is USC had destroyed you both games last year, and that didn't matter when you played USC this time because both teams are different. So I wouldn't read too much into the fact that you've destroyed Oregon the last couple of times, because I think this is a different Oregon team.
Guess who didn't play last year in that Oregon game?
Yeah, that's right. Justin Herbert. And I also think that Jim Leavitt has done a remarkable job with that defense, and that entire core of linebackers is back that had 36 combined tackles for loss last year. And I think that Oregon's going to win this game. I think that this is their time. But now, Bradley, when Cliff was raising his point, you were shaking your head about the quarterback. So what was your thought?
I mean, I immediately thought of Herbert. I thought he's instantly going to make an impact wherever he goes. I think he's Mitchell Trubisky that can actually win. That's who I would equate him to. You got Drew Locke at Missouri. I think he's got a gunslinger of an arm. He's like a Brett Favre if you look at it. The guy from Buffalo, love him too.
Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, compare this class to any other class, I think it's right on par, if not better, than what you've seen the last couple of years.
Well, look, last year's class was pretty exceptional and a lot of highly regarded guys, and I actually think all of them can play. And we may see Josh Rosen sooner than most believed in Arizona as they continue to have problems as well. And I don't know how long it'll be before Baker Mayfield takes over. Whenever Cleveland decides they actually want to win some of these close games instead of losing them, I guess will be the time. But I think that group from last year is really good and exceptionally good. And, the NFL right now is more talented young quarterbacks in the league than at any time in its history by a mile. And I think there will be guys added. I mean, it's not the guys that Todd McShay talks about, because Todd McShay is a confirmed idiot, but
Bentley third overall.
Right. I mean, and Finley number one, and of course McShay had Matt Barkley number one at one point, when we had him as a fourth round draft pick, which is, where he went. But in terms of this group, I still think Justin Herbert, when all is said and done, may well be the number one quarterback taking this draft, because you can't coach 6'6", and he has a big arm and he has athletic ability. He has talent. So I think when all is said and done, it'll be him. Let me tell you about Roto-Rooter. Here's the best thing about Roto-Rooter. I mean, there's so many great things when you need plumbing help, but if you have an emergency, chances are it's not going to be convenient. For your sake, I hope it is. Hope it happens at 1 in the afternoon. But it's probably going to happen at 1 at night. And then you're basically screwed. Except that if you have the Roto-Rooter number, you're going to call and a live human being is going to answer your call at 1 in the morning and direct help on the way to you. See, that's what you want when you have a plumbing problem. Roto-Rooter, the septic tank experts, they don't just clean the tank, they clean the system too. But your problem becomes their problem. So when you call them at 1 in the morning on a winter night when it's 15 degrees and your pipes freeze and break, Roto-Rooter is coming. A live human will answer your call and direct help on the way to you quickly. 288-7686. 288-7686, 288-7686, online at rotorooter.com. Rotorooter, that's the name, and away go troubles down the drain. Take that number down. You'll need it. Trust me. Quick break. Walt Tiptula Road Rage, joined by the After Further Review crew. We'll be back.
Hey, Clemson fans, join Mickey Plyler live at Chick-fil-A of Clemson on Tiger Boulevard this Friday from 6 until 9. Get your favorite Chick-fil-A breakfast and stop by and listen to Mickey's update analysis of college football at Chick-fil-A on Tiger Boulevard in Clemson.
Fort Knox Climate Storage of SC, now offering new lower prices. 10x10 dry storage units, $50 per month. 10x15 units, $60 per month. Roomy 10x20 units, $80 per month. Lowest price of the year on climate control storage units. Summer cleaning, store your stuff with confidence. 24/7 digital video monitoring, fence property and security lighting. Rent your unit online today at FortKnoxClimateStorage.com or call 502-0099.
Big O Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram is your local family-owned automotive dealer in the upstate. Life, liberty, and happiness is what we're all about. Big O has a huge inventory of new and used vehicles at the lowest price. Cars, SUVs, minivans, Jeeps, and trucks, new and pre-owned. You name it, we've got it. Trust us to deliver your next vehicle today. Visit us online at BigOdodge.com or check us out in Greenville under that big American flag on the motor mile.
M&L Mobile Home Supplies is the largest retail mobile home parts store in the upstate. They're your source for heat pumps, heating and air replacement parts, doors, tubs, showers, vinyl windows, skirting, decks, water heaters, everything you need. And they'll install vapor barriers, insulated floors, ductwork, and heat pumps. For 32 years, the staff at M&L Mobile Home Supplies has served the upstate's mobile home needs. M&L Mobile Home Supplies, 1128 Bypass in Anderson or online at mnlsupply.com.
R&R Golf Carts and Power Sports, located in Seneca and Clemson, is a factory-authorized dealer for EZ-GO and Cushman vehicles. They can fully customize your EZ-GO cart as well. With 0% financing, now it's easier than ever to own your new EZ-GO or Cushman vehicle. There's plenty of game day rental packages to choose from as well, so don't miss out this season. Stop by R&R Golf Carts and Power Sports on 123 in Seneca and Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. Online at rrgolfcarts.com.
Tired of your outdoor power equipment breaking down? You thought you'd save money at a big box store, only to find out that what you bought didn't last. They don't offer maintenance and repairs in-house. They don't have the parts you need, and they don't have your local Husqvarna dealer's expertise. Easley Lawn and Garden is your source for the complete line of Husqvarna riders, mowers, chainsaws, trimmers, blowers, and more. For commercial or residential equipment, they're experts who will save you money. Husqvarna has been around since 1689. That is longevity you can trust. Like Easley Lawn and Garden. Invest in Husqvarna equipment from Easley Lawn and Garden. Husqvarna offers many options, so whether you're a homeowner or a commercial lawn company, Easley Lawn and Garden, your local Husqvarna dealer for nearly 40 years, veteran and family owned and operated, 312 South Pendleton Street, Easley, online at easleylawn.com.
No one knows sports like Walt knows sports. It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
Now that the niceties are out of the way.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Walt Dip Tulip Road Rage, we're WCCP 105.5 The Roar, joined by Bradley and Jay from the After Further Review crew, which comes on at 7 p.m. when I go off today. So you'll want to stay tuned and listen to that. The guys have done a great job. I think you'll enjoy listening to them. You know, it's a fast-paced sports conversation-based show. The type of conversation you might imagine yourself having with two friends. It's that type of deal. And they'll argue back and forth and that type of thing. I think it makes for good radio, so stay tuned and listen to that. I don't know if you guys have ever tried Robinhood, but you need to if you haven't. Robinhood's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everybody, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. It's simple and intuitive, clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. That's what Robinhood's about. You've seen a lot of millennials get involved in it, but it's a great way to start learning about investing, and it's commission free, which is the coolest thing of all. That's right. No cost, no commission fees. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. How about that? It's easy to use too. Easy to understand charts, market data. You can place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. Listen, I am not technologically inclined at all, and even I can do this. So if I can do it, you can certainly do it. Robinhood's web platform also lets you view stock collections like the 100 most popular, like entertainment, social media, curated categories like female CEOs, and analysis ratings of buy, hold, sell for every stock. It's Robinhood. Look, Robinhood's giving my listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up, get in, do it today. WaltD.Robinhood.com. That's WaltD.Robinhood.com. WaltD.Robinhood.com. Do it today. You will thank me later. All right, what else did you see in the world of college football this weekend? We're going to avoid the Kelly Bryant v. Trevor Lawrence thing here since they play on the same team and since I'm sick to death of it anyway. What else did you see in the world of college football this weekend that caught your attention?
I think the LSU game and Auburn game was probably the most exciting. You know, there were a lot of good games. You had Boise State, Oklahoma State. That ended up not being as close as, I guess, Bradley. And I know you had mentioned that you were leaning towards the Broncos.
Okay, Jay, you can go now.
Hey, we all were. We all might as well get out of here.
Had it right.
Yeah. I felt like at home the Cowboys had a good shot.
Yes.
But no, I mean, I think overall the LSU Auburn game, I mean, it's tough. You know, LSU now has 2 wins against top 10 teams at the time that they played them. Yeah. Number 8, Miami.
One legitimate top 10 win.
Yeah.
Which I think is dumb the way they do that. Because you count, like, last year's Bama team had, like, a win against Florida State, which counted as, like, a top 5 win. I mean, yeah, you got to take that with a grain of salt. I thought it was amazing. You take Joe Burrow going 15 for 34, and they win the game. Like, after Auburn takes the lead 21-10, Burrow finds a way to magically get them down the field.
I mean, 15 for 34, but he threw for 250 yards.
Yeah, he's 15-34, though. I mean, he's averaging less than 50% completion percentage this season.
Well, he had a big player, too. You know,
yeah, and sometimes and a couple nice calls.
And sometimes big plays decide, a couple nice calls is right. I thought several of the pass interference calls, first of all, I thought they all went against Auburn. Yeah. And the one that was called that I thought changed the game in the middle of the field, that was just a ridiculous call. I mean, that is not pass interference. I'm sorry. And not even close to pass interference.
It's on 4th down, too.
Yeah, I mean, just a terrible call that really changed the game. And it's not to discredit what LSU did. I mean, it's a big win to go to the Plains and win. And they put themselves in position to benefit from a bad call, which I wasn't sure they could do that. Quite honestly, when it got... As that thing got to 21-10, I thought this is now going the way I thought it would. And I thought it was going to end up, you know, 31-17 or something, and that Auburn was just going to take care of business. But, hey, LSU hung tough, made the game late, put the onus on the officials, and made a couple plays. And you give them credit for that. I mean, it's a surprising outcome in my estimation and one that I did not see coming. And, you know, maybe LSU is a little better than we think. I still think that they're going to have to fix something with that offense, and I just don't know how likely that is to happen as LSU moves down the road. I mean, if they have designs on actually winning that division, you know, here's the thing. with Tua Tagovailoa playing for Alabama, they're going to score points. Yep. And if you have designs on beating them, somehow you're going to have to find offense.
But they played, I mean, they played, you look, and yeah, Auburn scored 21 points, but they were shut out in the first and fourth quarters.
Yeah.
They held Auburn to 328 yards. They didn't, LSU did not turn the ball over. Auburn had two turnovers. So they played a clean game. And that's what you have to do if you want to win in Jordan-Hare.
But that's not going to be enough to beat Tua Tagovailoa because he's going to put points up.
I agree completely. I think that there's a lot of work that can be done for LSU. But in this type of situation against this opponent, when things were somewhat stacked against them, they did what they needed to do. They got a couple calls that went their way.
It's a great win.
It's
a tremendous win for that program and for Ed Orgeron, personally.
I think it legitimizes LSU after the Miami game because I don't think any of us are really buying into Miami this season, and that's just kind of an average win. But you're right. I mean, long term, I think Joe Burrow is an upgrade over Danny Etling, but you put them in situations on the road at A&M or against like Alabama, you're going to ask too much out of your defense.
What's the rest of their schedule, Jay?
It's brutal. LSU's schedule or Auburn's schedule?
LSU's schedule.
They've got Louisiana Tech. That's a bye week. Then they host Ole Miss. You got at Florida.
They might lose to Ole Miss. I mean, outscore them?
No, I doubt it. Not based off. I watched a little bit of the Alabama Ole Miss game, and I didn't see anything from Ole Miss.
Well, that's against Alabama, though.
Still, they at home, Ole Miss looked just completely
flat. The problem, though, is I see there is. I just think LSU can maul them at the point of attack because the thing Mississippi didn't do last year, they scored. They were scoring a ton of points. They couldn't stop the run.
Yeah.
And really, they lost their two best run defenders off of that team from a year ago. So that'd be my question right now with them. I mean, they're going to score points, but...
Well, you got Georgia, Mississippi State, and Alabama.
Back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah. All at home. So you think getting through that stretch... 1-2, 2-1.
I don't think they're winning any of those games.
But you could certainly make an argument, like Bradley said, that they could lose all three of those. Yeah, I think they'll win one or two.
And all three of them are at home.
All three of them are at home. Yep. Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama, back to back to back.
And then they travel to A&M.
By the time they get to Alabama, they'll have put everything out there on the field, and that's probably going to be a beatdown.
Yeah, you'd have to play Alabama first. Have a chance.
Georgia will get their best shot of the season. If they win these
Georgia's the one they can lose. That's on the other side of the division.
Yeah.
If you want to pick one to lose, that's the one to lose. You know, win the other two. Win the other two, and you go to the championship game.
I think you just beat Mississippi State. Focus on winning that game, getting out of that stretch 1-2. Because if you go 0-3 in that stretch, you know, people are going to be looking at Orgeron going, yeah, you won it against Auburn.
Yeah, I mean,
where's the other big wins?
They're going to finish, 8-4, 9-3 if they beat A&M at the end of the season on the road. So it wouldn't be a great year.
Orgeron's job.
And that's the stretch of games which you're going to have to be able to score.
Yeah.
See, and that's still the challenge for them. I mean, they're going to be tough defensively. They're going to be competitive. They're going to try and rely on mistakes. But
the fact that it's at home, you think that...
That'll help, yeah.
It certainly doesn't hurt them.
Yeah, I mean, that environment should be insane, and we'll see. I mean, there's still... Even Georgia. Look, Georgia looks really good thus far, but that defense has not yet been tested. There is still a question about whether that defense can hold up against a physical running football team. And so LSU, you know, if LSU is going to upset one of those teams, it might be Georgia.
Yeah, they haven't been tested, and they lost a lot of pieces last year.
Right, they lost a lot of pieces, and we still don't. We know certain things about Georgia. We know that offensively they're good. We know that they have a running game. We know their offensive line is good. We know their quarterback play is pretty good. That offense as a whole should be pretty good. But I think the thing we know nothing about is their defensive front seven. We know their secondary with Baker and company can play, but that defensive front seven has not been tested as yet in my mind.
And they play a very similar game to the way LSU does, where methodically down the field, don't put too much pressure on the quarterback. He comes in clutch when he has to be.
The fact these games are all at LSU leads me to feel like they can win at least one or two.
I'll give them one.
I think one or two. I think if they win one, it's okay. I think if they win two, they should probably be pretty happy.
Watch out for Mississippi State, though. I just think, I don't know about y'all, but I love
You were high on the Bulldogs coming into the season.
I'm not an enormous fan of Fitzgerald. I'm a bigger fan of Moorhead. I think Moorhead was the best hire made in the SEC this year, and have said so. I think when all is said and done, people realize he was a much better hire than, say, Dan Mullen was at Florida. And I have pretty big expectations there. I don't love Fitzgerald because he's never been accurate. He's a better runner than he is a thrower, and he's a runner off of an Egg Bowl game in which his bone was sticking out of his leg.
Sounds a lot like Tim Tebow, though, outside the injury. I mean, better runner than thrower, not too accurate. Had six touchdowns.
He's a different type of runner, though. You know, he's a different.
He's not as powerful.
Yeah, he's a different. He's a different type of runner, but he's a. He was a more gifted runner. I mean, you know, he ran for 1,500 yards in a season in the SEC. You know, and people don't realize that. It's his, but it's his throwing ability that I think is still in question. Now, I actually think Moorhead can help him there, and already has.
That's where I think that loss hurts Penn State.
Last
season.
I think that's true. Although I still think Penn State's most significant loss is just that entire secondary that left for the NFL. And I think even for a team like Alabama, who faced the same type of issue, that's potentially a problem. Obviously, the Big Ten did not have a good weekend.
No,
and in particular, you know, as bad as it was for Wisconsin, it may have been worse for Northwestern.
God, you. First loss to, I think, Akron's first win against the, what was it, a Big Ten opponent since
1894?
Coke was first being bottled during that year.
Right. 1894. And Northwestern led 21-3.
Yeah. And we got Thorson back. I was expecting high things out of him coming off an emotional win against Purdue. You can't lose that kind of game at home. You just can't.
No, I mean, that is just a terrible loss. I mean, you know, you talk about bad losses. I mean, that's 100-year significant loss.
And Wisconsin lost. Like, think about it. The door is open now for a team like Iowa or Northwestern. Maybe creep your way in and get. I mean,
there's a lot that Northwestern would have to do. They'd have to beat Michigan. They'd have to beat Michigan State.
Oh, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. No.
So there's a lot of work. I mean, just because Wisconsin dropped that game, and then you still have the head-to-head against these two teams on October 27th.
You know, it may turn out that we're not paying enough attention to Iowa.
Iowa, yeah, I was just going to say that.
Because Iowa demonstrated their physicalness and their nastiness in that game against Iowa State. I mean, you saw Iowa State this weekend. They were still able to score against Oklahoma, and were still a viable threat to Oklahoma, who they beat a year ago. Who does Iowa have this weekend?
They have Wisconsin.
They play Wisconsin.
Yeah, they play Wisconsin.
At home. And that game's at home.
It's at Iowa.
Yep. Yeah.
And you speak another guy that coming to the draft this year, Nathan Stanley.
Besides, you look at Iowa's schedule, besides at Penn State on October 27th, I mean, they don't really, I mean, at Illinois, Nebraska, at Indiana, Maryland.
Right.
Indiana's 3-0.
Nobody's jumping out at me besides Wisconsin and Penn State.
Listen, if Iowa wins this game, they're winning their half of the division.
Yeah, yeah.
If Iowa wins this game, they're playing for the championship.
They'll have a one-game lead on Wisconsin.
Right, and you're not going to make it up, and they'll have the head-to-head tiebreaker. And I think it's reasonable now to think that Northwestern's not going to be a factor.
Yep.
I just don't think they're good enough. And so when you look at that team, and listen, and Iowa's going to do what they always do. They're going to ugly that game down at home. They're going to make it a low-scoring defensive contest. And you can bet that that game is going to be no higher than 21-20. It's going to go right to the end, and someone's going to win, someone's going to lose.
Or they're going to beat you 55-24 at home.
Well, yeah, if you're Ohio State. I mean, that's the biggest outlier game I've seen in college football in 10 years. There's no explanation for any of that. Let me tell you about Crude LED. Why Crude LED? Our products make a difference in daily cost of operation with lower electric bills and less maintenance for a better lit parking lot, a more productive office, a safer workspace, and happy customers. Why Crude LED? Because we do all the paperwork up front to process your eligible Duke Energy rebates and credit them off your cost for installation up front. Why Crude LED? Innovation and experience that delivers the right products with easy installation using the latest technology. Call Crude LED today, 864-401-8156. 864-401-8156, and get hooked up with the finest lighting in the industry. If you're a contractor and electrician, you need to call Crude LED. All right, that's it for me. Stay tuned. The After Review crew is coming up right now, and Jay and Bradley will be joined by Evan, and they'll take it for the next hour. I'll see you tomorrow.
From the Priority One Security Studios, we are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville. 105.5, The Roar.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger Update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of Clemson Athletics.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Hope that you enjoyed Clemson's 38-7 win over Georgia Southern.